You're listening to The Point.
There are numerous ways to give back to the community. On this program, we've discussed opportunities to donate time, money, and talent. Today, we look more closely at giving of time and talent. Singing for Good is a collaboration of choral groups who perform together to benefit local nonprofits. This year, Habitat for Humanity Cape Cod is the recipient of their benefit performance, which will take place this Saturday. Joining us is Danica Buckley, founder of Sing for Good, also the artistic director and conductor of the Cape Cod Chorale. Welcome.
Thank you.
And also with us is Vicki Goldsmith, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity Cape Cod. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, and it's great to be here.
So, Danica, how long have you been organizing Sing for Good performances, and what was the inspiration for this?
Well, I've been a choral director for about 30 years, and ever since I started bringing people together when I was in high school, I have always enjoyed the aspect of both the music and the community and how people in community choruses and church choirs and college choirs feel about getting together to sing once a week. It's so important to them, besides just the music, but being together. And I also wanted to do something that would give back, and my best way of doing that, I think, is through choral music.
So how has Sing for Good grown since you first envisioned it, and what are some of the nonprofits that have benefited from past performances?
So I started it 4 years ago at First Parish Brewster, where I'm the music director, a Unitarian Universalist church, and the first year it was for the UU Service Committee, and it was just Unitarian churches on Cape Cod choirs singing with us, and so it was just about three or four of us, and groups, not people. And so that was for a larger, more global type of charity, which does great work in social justice and trying to stop oppression in the world. So all good causes, but I really wanted to make it more local. I definitely do think globally and I try to act locally. And so I have wanted this to become a bigger group than just based at First Parish Brewster. And so the first year it was just that small kind of tryout of a fundraiser and it went well. But then the second year we had more choirs and we did it for what I really want to be my focus, which is the basics. I want people to have shelter and food and heat. Mm-hmm. So shelter, food, and fuel. So the second year was Housing Assistance Corporation of Cape Cod. And the third year was Family Pantry of Cape Cod based in Harwich. And this year I particularly chose Habitat for several reasons. One, it's of course the very prominent in the world at helping make housing for people. And two, my association with Vicki Goldsmith, because mm-hmm. we know each other from First Parish Brewster making music together. So it seemed ultra perfect, the relationship there. Yeah. And also I really wanted to do this for Habitat while Vicki is still at the helm of Habitat Cape Cod.
Yeah, rumor is it's another year, right, Vicki? And then you're going to retire?
Right, planning to retire the end of this calendar year.
All right, so Habitat for Humanity has a mission to build affordable housing in communities using volunteer labor. Listeners might not realize how much Habitat for Humanity Cape Cod has grown since its founding in 1989. Give us a sense of how much housing has been created through your work.
Well, we've developed 135 homes already on Cape Cod since our founding. Like many organizations, we were 100% volunteer when we began, and we would build one or two homes per year, occasionally hitting three or four in a year. And it was 20 years ago when I was hired as the first full-time staff person that was part of a strategic plan to significantly ramp up our contribution to providing affordable home opportunities for local families. So at this point, we're hitting an average of working together with the families who will be purchasing the home and the general community as volunteers, because of course part of our model is the future purchasers commit a significant amount of sweat equity in building their homes. But now we build an average of 10 homes per year, which is very strenuous in terms of the volunteer engagement, the commitment we ask of the families, and the private fundraising, aside from whatever perhaps CPC grants, other grants, non-governmental grants, we're also able to get very rigorous private fundraising in private contributions to make that possible in order to sell them at an affordable price.
Right. How has the need for affordable housing changed in the last 20 years, and how has Habitat adapted to this changing need? Because we've been talking about affordable housing for a long, long time.
Right. So it's interesting in terms of the differences of what we see in the families who are ultimately selected for a home ownership opportunity. And part of our process is so, well, everything we do is very high touch and personal, but one of our criteria is to have a critical need for an affordable home. And then another criteria is the willingness to partner with Habitat in the building of the home. So that means both the sweat equity, but also taking our pre-purchase education courses. But what that means is that, like most organizations, we do an initial paper screening. People fill out an application. We have a credit review team that's looking to see if people both have the ability to pay the lower priced mortgage payments they will ultimately be paying, but also that they're within maximum income requirements. But then we need to evaluate this idea of a critical housing need and willingness to partner. And we do that by pairs of trained volunteers actually doing home interviews. And that's why we know in a very broad, specific, anecdotal way these changing circumstances. So checking with my family programs manager yesterday about this, I'd say a big change in phenomena is what we used to see a lot of 20 years ago would be people who were in winter rentals for a good part of the year, and then they would camp or double up in the summertime with friends. The winter rental phenomena is pretty much sunsetted. It's very hard to find year-round rentals or winter rentals, and the camping has been banned. People can only camp for 2 weeks in most campgrounds, and then they have to move along. So that's a big change. And what the other thing we saw a significant percentage of when I first started as director was truly substandard housing, where people were living in rickety situations, huge code violations. We used to see more people living in trailers, and that's also a phenomena whose day has gone by. I'd have to say, you know, kudos to code enforcement by all the towns, but we still see some of the substandard housing, but not to the same extent. So what we're seeing a lot of now is people in doubled up and even tripled up situations. Yeah. So we'll go and do a home interview, and it'll be three generations. The first set of parents who are now grandparents are there, and it would not be unusual for there to be two families, you know, two siblings, and, you know, their partners are, you know, husbands, wives or not, you
and
know,
their kids.
And their kids. Yeah. So these tripled up situations. But in terms of the number of applicants, that hasn't waned at all.
The
easiest statistic for me to remember, so I use it a lot, is when we opened up applications for the first six homes in Brewster of a 14-home subdivision. So six homes, we received 80 applications.
Wow.
Now, not all of those households were eligible or qualified,
right,
but it's a great indication
of
the need.
Of the need.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I'm just thinking, I'm putting myself in the position of somebody who's applying for this, and I'm thinking, okay, let's say I have to build the house. What if I don't know anything about building a house?
Right. Well, they'll have a lot of new best friends helping them to do it. And the interesting thing is, about 2/3 of the way through the process, at one of our home buyer education courses is on transition to home ownership. We go over everything that's going to happen at closing and so forth. But I always do a debrief with the families and about what they find wonderful about the Habitat process, and if they got to be the boss and could change something, what it would change.
Yeah.
But invariably, what they love, no matter how much trepidation they had in the beginning about it, is the sweat equity, because the experience of working essentially a day a week with the community volunteers is so affirming. And both our staff site supervisors and the lead construction volunteers, there's always several on the site that are wonderful teachers, and it's truly, and it's intended to be, an empowering experience. But, you know, to actually learn some of these techniques so they can start knowing zero, as long as they have the willingness to not only put in the time, but put in the energy.
All right. So, Danica, how do you recruit the choral groups, and what groups will be part of this year's performance?
Well, I direct four choral groups, so
oh my.
It's easy to recruit. But for this performance, two of mine, I started where we started, which was with the Unitarian Church Choirs on Cape Cod. So I start with them, and then I also conduct the Cape Cod Chorale, which is based in Sandwich. So I invite them, and it's so easy to do this. All I say in a rehearsal is who is interested, and 95% of the hands go up. Mm-hmm. It's there. Everyone is so eager to participate. So my two groups in this are Cape Cod Chorale and First Parish Brewster. And then we have a total this year of 8 choirs.
Wow.
Which is really something. Very excited about that. And that is, it's two community groups, Cape Cod Chorale and an adult a cappella group from Kituat Arts Center. And they actually called me. They heard about it somehow and asked if they could participate. So that was something new. And I'm excited to hear them. They're called the Center Tonics, which is a great play on the pentatonics. And two UCC churches, Orleans and Kituat, and then the Cape Cod Chorale, and then all the Unitarian churches on Cape Cod. Mm. So we really end up with about 100 singers probably this year.
Wow. So how do you decide which works you're going to perform and sing for good?
Well, every choir director gets to choose whatever work generally they might be working on or something from the repertoire, so that there's not too much extra stress preparing for an additional concert in the year that might be in conflict with other things that they're preparing. But for me, I choose things for Cape Cod Chorale. It's works generally from the April concert, so that we can just preview those. So this year it's a Brahms and a Mendelssohn. And for the church choir, it's a couple pieces this year from our repertoire. One is called The Colors of the Wind, which people will recognize from the Disney movie Pocahontas. But it's a beautiful song, and it's an important commentary on let's recognize all the colors of the wind. And, you know, you may be on this land, but let's not take it from others. And so it's a good message. And the other one, I'm sticking sort of in this environmental theme this year, is called Oceanus. And it's a wonderful song to sing on Cape Cod, but it's all about the oceans and what they give us.
Mm. Now, we have a cut of the Concordia Choir performing The Promise of Living. Tell us a little about this piece and why you selected it.
Well, so the choirs all sing individually, and in between we sing with audience, but at the end we do one massed choir piece. And I chose this one this year because of the text and because of the beauty of it, and because I've always wanted to conduct it, and it requires a good-sized choir and two pianists. And the text, I feel, couldn't be more perfect for a fundraiser for Habitat. Should I read a little?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
The promise of living with hope and thanksgiving is born of our loving, our friends, and our labor. The promise of growing with faith and with knowing is born of our sharing our love with our neighbor. For many a year, we've known these fields and known all the work that makes them yield. Are you ready to lend a hand? We'll bring in the harvest, the blessings of harvest. And there are a few more words, but it's just so community and building together.
Well, let's take a listen.
Friends and our neighbor.
beautiful.
It is.
When people come together around a common goal, it can be really powerful. And I think both of you experience that in your work. Vicki, what do the volunteers at Habitat say about their work with the organization?
Well, almost invariably, they say that they feel that they are the greatest beneficiaries of volunteering. They love being engaged in very meaningful work. They love working directly with the people who are going to benefit from the work. And they love the fact that the people who will have the opportunity to purchase a home with an affordable monthly payment are also, you know, working side by side to create the physical structure and the lovely network of friendships and of associates. We really develop a fellowship.
I was gonna say, it's personal, you know, because you're having this relationship with somebody who's going to be living in this house and you know their story. Right. So I could imagine there are people thinking, hey, I might want to do that. What kind of skills do you have to be a volunteer with Habitat for Humanity?
Well, I do want to mention as well that we have a very broad range of volunteer opportunities. We run two retail operations to raise money for Habitat. So whether someone might be great doing sales on the floor or has run a cash register in the past or can lift and move heavy things and being nice to people who donate, refrigerators and stoves and beautiful couches and stuff to us or to help sell. We can use those sorts of volunteers. We have a finance committee. We have fundraising events. We have You know, we found a couple of fabulous photographers who volunteer for us. So there's writers.
There's something for anybody.
Right, yeah. Exactly. But for construction volunteering, we certainly take novices. We do ask that people be willing to show up early and on time and stay the whole day. It doesn't work for us to train someone for a 3-hour drop-in period, but we can utilize both volunteers who want this experience once or twice a year to put their hands on the wood or the paintbrush or the landscaping and help, or we evolve to some people who really like to come once a week if there's the opportunity and the need for it. Of course, we love someone that comes with either hobbyist or one-time professional skills. We can always use those people in specialized tasks or to help teach others, but we certainly very much welcome novices, as long as they're willing to listen. And there's many, many ways to do different tasks on a job site. And we just ask that people do it the way that they're trained to for our job sites.
Performing as a group can bring enormous individual satisfaction. You mentioned how they just want to sing. So is that feeling compounded when the performance is a benefit?
Oh, I think so. The first thing that people say at the end of this concert each year is, when can we do it again? And there are people who would like to do it more than once in a year. I'm not sure I can handle that in my schedule, but I am trying to grow this as a musical foundation. Mm-hmm. And so who knows what the future holds.
So what are some of the challenges then of bringing these different choral groups together?
Well, just coordinating. I send out the word as early as I can in the year. And then I've developed a system, so I know what to ask for, and I get the programs in from them. So I'm currently doing a lot of the administrative stuff, but now I have help in publicity. Mm-hmm. And it's really, I'm not sure it's a challenge. It's a joyful task more than a challenge, I think.
Yeah. Vicki, what are some of the upcoming projects at Habitat and what are some of the long-term goals?
Okay. Well, first, I would like to mention that we'll be dedicating 4 homes on April 9th on Dickinson Drive in Marston's Mills. That's going to start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. People should come about 15 or 30 minutes early to park and take a peek at the homes before we begin the ceremony. So anyone who's not familiar with the quality of the work that we do or the spirit of Habitat, those are always public events. Mm-hmm. And we hold them a week or two before we'll actually be closing on the homes, so folks have a chance to walk through the home. But so we'll be finishing 4 homes in Marston's Mills and 3 in Dennis, and we're preparing to raise the walls on 8 more homes off of Tubman Road in Brewster, 2 homes in Wellfleet, and that'll be called Durkee Lane, off after 2 late wonderful Habitat volunteers, Nancy and Steve Durkee. And then we'll also be raising walls this fall on one home on DeGrasse in Mashpee. And at the same time, we have land in both Harwich and Falmouth, a 6-home development in Harwich and a 10-home development in Falmouth, where we'll be beginning the infrastructure work in the late spring or summer.
You're busy.
We have private land donations now in Sandwich and Brewster for a few homes where we're just in the very early permitting stage. I've invariably left something out, but we're actively seeking land because it does take us a few years to get through the permitting and so forth. But we do have a robust 3-year schedule of about, as I say, 10 homes a year, and then new land coming into our pipeline to begin the feasibility studies and so forth. So.
Sing for Good will be performing Saturday, March 30th at 7:30 p.m. at the Cape Cod Synagogue in Hyannis. It's a benefit for Habitat for Humanity Cape Cod. We'll post links with more information about the concert and Habitat for Humanity at our website, capeandislands.org. We're going out on another cut of music. This is Good Night. Danica, tell us about who's performing this and why you selected it for the upcoming performance.
Cape Cod Chorale last spring did a concert of Beatles music. And this is just a favorite piece, and I think it's such a beautiful song. So,
yeah, can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong.
All right, Danica Buckley, founder of Sing for Good, and Vicki Goldsmith, executive director for Habitat for Humanity Cape Cod. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for doing the concert.
Thank you.